Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind us again, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on ideological position. It's not based on denominational dogma, but based on what the Word of God says. I believe it's time we as Christians recognize that the Scripture is the first, the foremost, and the final authority for anything that we do in life. And it's my prayer today as you join in that you'll join the discussion, the dialogue. In just a moment, we'll be interviewing Cord Byrd, the representative for 11th District in the House of Representatives in Tallahassee. But before we get to that, let me have a brief monologue and introduce to you the subject today that we'll be discussing along with Congressman Byrd. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that we just had an appeals court decision said, and the title of the article that's the summary of this decision said, Americans have the right to open carry. Washington Times, Dateline, Americans have a constitutional right to openly carry firearms, a federal appeals court ruled Tuesday, delivering a major victory to gun rights supporters. While courts previously have recognized the right of ownership of firearms to protect their home, the decision by the three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals from the Ninth Circuit extends into the public sphere, calling it a core Second Amendment right. The judge, Judge Scanlon, who wrote the majority opinion, said, and I quote, he ruled that there is little doubt the authors of the Second Amendment were comfortable with Americans openly carrying weapons for self-defense. And until the Constitution is changed, that remains the standard. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a nation today where some on the left and some that are avowed socialists are trying every way possible to either amend, modify, or to mitigate some way and change or totally exclude the Second Amendment right that we have in our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, the first 10 amendments to our Constitution are called the Bill of Rights, and the Second Amendment is very important for we the people. In fact, we have 27 amendments to the Constitution, and the Second Amendment is the only one that states that it shall not be infringed upon. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted when we have people that we elect and place in the House and the Senate, both on the state and the national level, that will take a firm stand on our Constitution. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we start eroding our Constitution, destroying the foundation upon which our constitutional republic is built, we are eroding and destroying our freedoms in America. And if you can destroy one of our amendments, you can destroy them all. And we, as one stands, all stand, or as one falls, all of them fall. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on Let's Face the Issues today is a House of Representatives from the 11th District, Representative Cord Byrd. Cord, welcome to the broadcast today. We're looking forward to what God will say in and through you as we discuss some of these issues with our listeners. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for having me, and good morning to everyone who's listening.
We are looking forward to our dialogue and discussion. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little brief biographical introduction of Congressman Byrd. He served last year on the Justice Appropriations Subcommittee, the Agriculture and Property Rights Subcommittee, the Civil Justice and Claims Subcommittee, Health Quality Subcommittee, Judiciary Committee, and the Public Integrity and Ethics Committee. Cord, and I don't believe he minds me saying this, is an avid Christian, loves the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind saying this with Cord present, but I believe we need to elect more people like this, place them in office to represent we the people in the places and the halls of Congress. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God gave us government, and government is ordained of God. In fact, God gave us the home, then he gave us government, and then he gave us the institution called the church. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk with Congressman Byrd today, we're going to be discussing some of these issues. But the major thing I want you to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to meet Representative Cord Byrd by way of this radio broadcast. And at the close of the broadcast, we're going to talk about an opportunity for you to get in touch with him, contact him, and assist him in the reelection process. He was elected in 2016 to the House. We're looking forward to we the people putting him back in the House in Tallahassee to vote and make determinations for that which pleases God and honors our Constitution. Congressman, you've heard, and I'm sure you're familiar with this appeals court decision, and I find it right almost laughable that it came out of the Ninth Circuit. Some call it the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals. But tell us and talk with us and address that a little bit for our listeners today, the significance of this. And I say this, ladies and gentlemen, in introducing Congressman Byrd, simply because he is a Second Amendment rights attorney. He practices law dealing with the Second Amendment right. So, Cord, based on that, talk with our listeners something about the importance of this decision by the appeals court and some of your thoughts on that and why it is so important.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And it is a pretty significant opinion, especially as you noted, it came out of the Ninth Circuit, or as some call it, the Ninth Circuit. Our Ninth Circuit, that is the that is on the left coast of the United States, and this opinion was a decision out of the state of Hawaii, which some consider to have the most stringent gun laws in the entire country. And put simply, the case upheld the Second Amendment right to openly carry firearms for self-defense, and that was the original intent of the founders, was that you would openly carry. And why that's so important is, it was thought at the time of the founding that by openly carrying, if I'm openly carrying and you were openly carrying, we were more likely to be polite to each other because we could see that each of us was armed and you're less likely to be aggressive. And they didn't like concealed carry because if I think I have a firearm or weapon and I think you don't, maybe I'm going to be more aggressive toward you. So the constitutional basis was for open carry.
That is absolutely correct. I find it astounding that with so many in Washington today, every time there is a violent attack, every time there is a shooting, there's a scream and cry that we need to start in some way modifying and modulating our Constitution. Court, if you would tell our listening audience today why our Constitution is so important. I know we have a number of folks that's listening. In fact, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people listening today that are familiar with our Constitution, but so many are not. And when we talk about government, and so often we make decisions in government to have codicils and laws and things put in place that so often, in fact, I find more often than not, are not in conformity with our state or federal constitution, and therein lies the problem. Speak to the issue of the importance of our founding document, especially our constitution and the first 27 amendments and the 27 amendments and the first 10 being our Bill of Rights, and why this is so important, and your stand on our constitution in government and in the decisions you make. How does it play into your decisions? What is the emphasis that you place on that when a law is being discussed? You're in committee, you're talking about it. How do you stand on that?
Well, and thank you for that excellent question. I ran as a constitutionalist. So when I ran, I looked at the voters and said, I take an oath. Every elected official, the only thing we all do together is we take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and of the state of Florida. And so on every decision, I think about it like a boat needs a keel. And for me, the Constitution is that keel. So when the political winds blow, and I've seen this happen to my colleagues, they're getting blown all over the place because they don't have those core values, those core principles. They're not rooted in the Constitution. And when you are, when you do have the Constitution as your foundation, it is much easier to vote because you know whether this is something that is a proper function or role of government or whether it is not. And that's how I go through my decision-making process. Like you, I'm extremely passionate about the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights, because those rights are from God. They are not from government. They are enshrined in the Constitution to remind us that they are a limit on government, not a limit on man.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, when you say that is given by God, and that is so true, and many people are not aware of the fact that our Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms in particular, of course, all of them, as a result of our founding fathers as believers, and I understand there are a lot of folks who want to argue and disagree with that, but they were believers, and as a result of that, our founding documents are all based on the Word of God. And when it comes to the Second Amendment right, as I tell people and have recorded in the book, The Doctrine of Self-Defense, that we had the privilege of publishing several years ago, the doctrine of self-defense was given to us by God in the Scripture. It was codified in our Constitution. It's been confirmed by the courts to be carried out by we the people. And so also with our Constitution and all of our other rights and freedoms and liberties that we have in it. And I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, as we're talking today with Representative Cordbird. He is the Republican, the 11th District here in the state of Florida, represents us in Tallahassee. And you're welcome to call us, ladies and gentlemen. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. If you've got a question you'd like to ask Congressman Byrd, or if you'd like to make a comment or join in the dialogue and discussion today, you're welcome to do so. So that's 401-1413. Congressman, let me ask you some things that might be beneficial for our listeners, because I don't mind our listeners understanding and recognizing my passion. We want to put you back in the House in Tallahassee. We want to see you continue to represent us there. In your re-election campaign, in the process of running for re-election, tell us something about the bills that you sponsored last year, some of the ones that failed, some of the ones that you were co-sponsors on, or some of the ones that you had some major passion about that you are prayerful or hopeful to be able to reintroduce or to see something like those come up this year.
Yes, sir. So one of them, probably the most significant bill that that I had the opportunity to vote on last year, was after the Parkland tragedy. And unfortunately, the bill that was passed and that I voted against, along with 17 of my colleagues in the House, was a gun control measure. And as someone who practices in the area of firearms law, I saw that this bill not only violated our Second Amendment rights, but the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment. And that's why it's so important to be constitutionally grounded, because these bills, when government says, well, we have to do something, we have to respond, if they don't respond constitutionally, it ends up infringing upon the rights of the law-abiding, because the criminal, by definition, does not obey the law. And I've seen it time and time again, when we pass gun control measures, it only ends up infringing upon the law-abiding. And I can tell you that I think I'm safe to say this, that I'm the only member of the Florida legislature that has had to go into court and now argue this bill in defense of someone who the government was trying to enforce this bad law against them. And I can tell your listeners that I was successful. I defeated them, and I can now take that that information back to my colleagues to try to fix this bad law.
Amen. One of the things that we find in speaking of that is the fact that some of the cities in America that have the strictest, most restrictive gun control laws are the ones that we find the most shootings and the most deaths as a result of criminals having guns. And so additional laws in relationship to controlling our Second Amendment will have nothing to do with or change the heart of the human being that's wicked according to the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I'm curious why we do not prosecute those politicians that swear to uphold the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. They are swearing, and I know that in the military, we're swearing the same oath, and we would be prosecuted.
All right. Thank you for that call. We'll let our representative answer that and respond to that question.
Well, and it is. Problems and frustrations that I hear from many voters and constituents is they see time and time again, whether it's someone like Lois Lerner, who was using her office to discriminate against the Tea Party, or other officials who are now, they go up before Congress calls them to testify, and they refuse to answer questions. And it is frustrating, and it's up to Congress and D.C. in Washington, D.C. I serve in Tallahassee, but in D.C. to enforce their rights. I mean, Congress has abdicated so much of their authority to either the executive or to the bureaucracy, the deep state, and they have to reassert their right. And that's quite frankly electing people who understand the Constitution and who are bold enough to take their oath seriously.
To stand on the Constitution, as you use the term, and I like that, to be bold enough to take that stand. I'd rather see representatives and those in the House and the Senate, we call them congressmen for both House and Senate. I'd rather see congressmen that will take a stand and defend the Constitution, even if it means losing the seat, than to not take a stand on our founding documents to protect us. Congressman, let me ask you a question. I am, as you know, passionately against what we've done in the state of Florida in relationship to allowing pot to be sold. I call it pot shops on every street corner. Right now in Duval County, we've got 10, 11, 12, 14 pot shops on street corners. They call it medicinal marijuana. And yet we know, and I've done mega research on the subject, it's not a matter of question, but it's a matter of fact that marijuana is the gateway to fentanyl, to heroin, and all other hard drugs, and in particular to the opioids that we have a crisis on a national basis. What can we do? And I realize the law is there, realize it's been passed by referendum, and I have no, sense of the people that pushed the referendum, have no sense of their understanding what's going to happen to our public in the state of Florida. But speak to that issue, and it's not trying to put you on the horns of a dilemma, but I know you and I stand in the same position of the horror of where our society is going with this kind of law and these kinds of regulations. What can we do that can protect the kids? For example, if I can be elongated with a further thought on that, in Colorado, there's a major exponential increase in emergency room cases and with teen and preteen deaths as a result of the marijuana-laced cookies and gummy bears, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that kids get a hold to because there's no regulation for the amount of the drug to be in those chocolate chip cookies and the gummy bears and so forth, the brownies. So as a result of that, it's killing kids. And that's happening in Colorado and Oregon and California and across the nation. What can we do from a legislative standpoint that will in some way put a cap on that to prevent it as much as possible?
Well, it's such an excellent question. And the law you reference, it was by referendum. It is in our state constitution. So we, as the legislature, are constitutionally mandated to implement that law, whether we agree with it or not. And so we have tried to take, at least in the House, a very prudent, measured approach to try to limit it as much as possible so that people who want to exercise that right can have it for medicinal purposes but not expand. And you talked about Colorado. You mentioned I sit on the Health Quality Committee, and we heard testimony from the Colorado drug czar, and he warned us. He warned us, be very, very careful with how you implement this because it has not gone as they have intended and as they planned. And we have seen with the opioid crisis how this is devastating families. It's devastating children. And I'm very concerned about this push to legalize and normalize drug use in our society.
Well, as you know, this past year in the during the session, there were a number of people pushing, and some of the House and Senate members acquiesced to that, where now they're not only wanting to be able to ingest it for medicinal purposes, as they call it, but now they're wanting to modify that law to allow puffing, as it is called. Simply put, getting into the recreational area of it in an open fashion. And I feel that will perhaps come up again in the next session. Address that issue as to what we, the people, need to do as we place you and others back in the House and the Senate. How should we respond? What should we do to try to help the legislators understand the horror of what's going to happen lest they take a stand on that, modifying and expanding the law?
Right. Well, if that type of legislation comes back up, the most important thing they can do is let us know and come to Tallahassee and testify. I mean, it's very powerful when people come before us in a committee and tell us their stories, their real-world stories of how drugs have devastated their lives and their families. I think that there's actually a lawsuit that's pending in the courts now about allowing, as you called it, the puffing, the smokable marijuana. Law enforcement is very concerned about that. I know employers are very concerned because, how do you stop someone on the job? I mean, do we want someone that's operating dangerous heavy machinery that's somehow impaired due to drug use, or for law enforcement to be able to discern is that just a regular tobacco cigarette, or is that somehow a marijuana cigarette? It's just going to put additional burdens. But as long as this is in the Constitution, and it is, we are obligated to enact legislation to make it legal, or to legalize it in some fashion.
Yes. Well, I am thankful for your stand. And let's do a little interlude here in this dialogue and discussion. Tell our listeners today, Congressman, your passions, what you're wanting to accomplish in the next legislative session, and also speak to the issue of how they can reach you, what our listeners can do to put you back in Tallahassee. I don't mind. I want you to give website addresses, telephone numbers, email addresses, whatever you can give, how they can reach you, how they can contact you, what your needs are. What do you need in helping hands, boots on the street? How can we, the people in the listening audience today, and by the way, tons and tons and tons of our listeners all the way from Brunswick, Georgia, down to about Daytona and from the beaches across, tons of our listeners in the position that they would be in your district to vote. Tell our listeners what they can do to come on board to assist you with the election process.
Well, thank you. So District 11 it covers all of Nassau County, parts of the north side of Jacksonville up Heckscher Drive, and then the three Jacksonville beaches. And I'm serious when I say this. When people say, Cord, what's the most important thing I can do for you? And I say, keep me in your prayers.
Amen.
Keep me and my family in your prayers. Campaigns can be difficult. You see on TV a lot of nasty things are said about politicians and people running for office, and those can be tough sometimes on our families. And so I try to campaign in a positive way. I try to tell people why you should vote for Cord Byrd, not why you should vote against someone else. And I think people should really take note of those types of campaigns. I think I try to run a positive campaign, as President Reagan, who's my political hero, said, be a happy warrior. So we can be warriors, but we can do it with a good heart.
That's a good thought.
But I can be reached. My campaign website is cordbyrd.com. My Facebook page is Cord Byrd for State Representative or State House. I'm listed on my state representative website. They can contact me there if they have a legislative issue. But tell your family and friends. That's the most important thing. Grassroots is so important. So if you like my message, if you believe in what I'm doing in Tallahassee, I would just ask you to tell somebody at church, tell a friend, tell a family member. The election is August 28th. That is the primary election date. So I have a primary election on August 28th. And then on November 6th, I do have a general election opponent as well. So I'll be campaigning all through the summer and fall. And just always appreciate the time and opportunity that you give me and our shared passion for our Constitution and for the Lord.
Yes, amen. Two or three other quick thoughts, Cord, and we'll get back to that again for people to have the contact information. I'm sure that you're aware of the Kentucky governor's bill that he recently signed, Governor Bevin. He recently signed a bill, now law, authorizing the Bible to be taught as an elective in all the Kentucky public schools. Speak to that and your thoughts on it, and whether or not you think that is feasible or viable for the state of Florida.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because that's actually one of the bills that I'm or a similar type bill that I'm considering, that at least when students have a free or elective time to read something of their choice, that they have to be able to be allowed to read the Bible. I mean, it is part of the foundation of Western civilization. I mean, so many of our great works of art, our great books, whether they be fiction or nonfiction, are rooted in the truths and principles of the Bible. So to deny that is wrong. This last legislative session, we passed a bill that says that the state motto, which includes "In God We Trust," must be placed in every school building. I think that one of the problems with our society is that when we removed God from the schools, we see the results of that, and we're paying the price for that now. So, Oh, go ahead.
I have read that bill, and it's right succinct, pretty truncated and right succinct. And I'm wondering if it's possible for you to, I'm not trying to put you on the spot for our listeners, but I'm passionate about this issue. I believe that it ought to be a freedom of religion, mm-hmm. Freedom of speech, that every student would have the right to be able to read the Bible, to take the Bible to school and not be basically made fun of and denigrated because of the Bible. And secondly, I believe that as the bill and the law now in effect in Kentucky, where it makes it not mandatory, but it is on the basis that it can be a subject that is taught on an elective basis. And under the elective basis, according to their bill and their law, it can be an elective in social studies, elective in world history, an elective in civics, et cetera, so that it can be placed as an elective in just about any academic category for the academic process in our public schools. Do you think there would be, what are your thoughts about any a conflict with that and or any opposition to that on a broad basis in the state of Florida?
Well, I can assure you there would be broad-based opposition. There is no doubt in my mind, and this is one of the things I would caution your listeners, is that the progressive wing of the Democrat Party is growing in Tallahassee. It is becoming louder. It is becoming more bold. And even some of, and I have friends on both sides of the aisle, and I've had some of them tell me, Cord, I'm concerned, because there are people of faith, on the other side, and they're telling me, Cord, I'm concerned about, you know, people in our own party pushing an anti-God, anti-faith-based agenda, and we have to guard against that.
Yes, well, I am also, as you just mentioned a moment ago about posting In God We Trust, in Alabama, you know, they're now in the process of passing legislation that will be posting the Ten Commandments mm-hmm. on all state property. I think that we're seeing a little, glimmer of hope with several states and several of the legislators in these states that are getting us back to, pointing us back to the fundamentals of God, the Bible, and the foundation of our society today. Cord, we've got about 2 minutes left on this broadcast. Would you take these 2 minutes, speak to the people, and address our people as to what we, the people, can do to assist you in placing you back in office in Tallahassee?
Thank you again, Dr. Youngblood, and once again, my name is Cord Byrd. I'm a state representative. I'm running for re-election in District 11 here in Northeast Florida. I ran as a constitutionalist. I've governed as a constitutionalist, and that message is resonating. When I talk to my colleagues in the legislature, they're starting to understand the importance of that oath we all take. I can be. You can reach me on my website at cordbyrd.com, my Facebook page, Cord Byrd for State House, or just my regular personal page is Cord Byrd, or you can call me at my office. I'm very easy to reach. And so I just once again ask everybody to keep me and my family in their prayers, and tell a family and friend to get out and vote on August 28th for Cord Byrd for re-election to State House.
That is great. We have now about 1 minute, so I will have a little footnote, if you will, Congressman. Do you feel that we have a need for a law to be passed in Tallahassee to protect and preserve our state monuments and not have them destroyed, as is a movement presently in Duval County in the city council?
Well, I do, and that legislation was filed last year and for different reasons didn't get a lot of traction, but I'm hopeful that it will come back again, because if you're a student of the left, and I am, and I'm sure you have read Saul
yes.
Alinsky and the things that they say, and they
yes.
try to destroy our history. If we forget our history, if we forget who we are as a people and where we come from, we will lose the Constitution, we will lose our liberties, we will lose our freedom. So there can be debate about what those monuments mean and they stand for, but that's part of the historical understanding. And whether right or wrong, we have to teach the future generations who we are as a people and where we came from and why the Constitution is so important.
Absolutely. It goes back to our founding documents and the protection, the liberties, and the freedoms that we have therein. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Representative Cord Byrd today, 11th District Congressman. He is up for re-election. We encourage you to call him, write him, email him, jump on the bandwagon. Let's put Cord Byrd, 11th District Republican, back in the House in Tallahassee in November. The primary is coming up August the 28th. There is a need for a vote, so get out and vote. Cord Byrd, 11th District, Republican for the House. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.